Amen. Praise God. It's good to be here with you this morning. And I was excited when Pastor John called, said Dave was going to be out of town, and asked me if I would be willing to fill in. And so I said, yes, I would be glad to do that. My wife is laughing. I was trying to get this mic on my ears, or my ear in this case. And we was out south of Pittsburgh last Sunday, and the pastor had one of these doubles. And I tried to put that thing on, and I mean, I went over, and my wife looked at me, and she just broke out laughing. She said, I got to get a picture of this. Just took both of my ears and went like this. Oh, praise God. So anyway, I guess what I'm saying is I'm glad that this is just on one side. Amen. We'll have to tell Pastor John that. But it's, well, some of you that know me, I know I see James and his family, and Greg's here today and his kids. And I'm just a prophecy buff. Yes, you see heads going like this. I've always been that way ever since I got saved. It seemed like that's what the Lord put in my heart, and I've just done a lot of prophecy, so that's what I want to share with you. I probably, honestly, will not get done with this message. I doubt if I will, but when I was working on this, putting it together, I thought, no, what in the world am I going to call this? What's the title? What title could I give this? And I thought, yeah, that's exactly what it is. What in the world is happening? That's the title. What in the world is happening? I want to share this with you. I use a lot of scripture. So if you're going to write it down, if this is recorded, you can get a record. I don't know what you do in this church, but you're going to hear a lot of scripture, because I feel like when you go in to prophecy, it's got to be from the Word of God. Amen? It's what the Lord is speaking today, and it's what the Lord is speaking about tomorrow, and that's where I want to go. So if you, I will try to tell you where I'm at. If you don't get it and you miss some of it, contact me, and I will email it to you. Amen? Email the scriptures that I'm using. And so the title is, What in the World is Happening? How many of you have been asking that recently? Anybody here? I think in that church last week out in Pittsburgh, I think every hand went up, because they were just saying, what in the world is happening? You know, it's like chaos, amen, is happening in this world everywhere you look. And I believe that the Lord laid this in my heart to be able. It seems like to me, I said this for years, by the way, and I believe it more today than ever. I think there is it's like a spirit of insanity or madness. You agree? How many of these decisions do you agree with? Probably none, you know, that's made in what we see witnessing in the entire world. So, but I want to start off by reminding you that God is boss. Amen? God is boss. Now, as we enter into this, there's sometimes you look at what he's saying about the future, and you wonder. You say, God, are you really the boss there? It's almost like Paul said, God, where are you? Amen? Where are you? Because we're looking for him in situations, and sometimes he doesn't show up exactly the way we want him to. Isaiah 45 and 5, if you want to write that down or listen to it, I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, and gird means for you, or he will equip you for battle. That's what that means. Look it up, and you'll find out that's what it means. And he said, I will equip you for battle, even though you don't even know me. So God is equipping people that they don't even know him. And verse 6 says that they may know from the rising of the sun to the setting that there is none besides me, the Lord says, I am the Lord. And he said, and there is no other. Isaiah 43:13, he said, yea, before the day was, he said, I am he. and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall hinder it? Can you say amen? Who shall hinder it? So I want to start with that, because in the next thing the Lord brought to my mind, that power belongs unto God. In Psalm 62:11, he says, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongs unto God. Power belongs unto him. So God's boss. Amen? He's boss. So he lets us to know this, and he has the power to overrule the evil of nations and individuals as well. He has the power to do that. Even though you see, and we'll be taking a look at some of this, but as evil confronts us, God's unlimited power will ultimately deliver us. Sometimes, I think that's what Paul was saying, it's the 11th hour and the 59th minute. How many of you find that? Is that where he works? That's where he works. As I find out, all my ministry is that's where it says. I say, God, where are you? What are you? Yeah, I'm here. I'm working this thing. I'm working it. So God alone is going to be able to supply this power. In Ephesians 3:20, here's what he says to you, church. He said, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly. I like that. I memorized just scripture verse within the last couple of weeks. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Ponder that one. Learn it. Commit that to memory. He said, according to his power that works in us, that works in you. If you're born again, his power is in you, working in you. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And in 1 John 3:8, John tells us, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Well, boy, we see the works of the devil operating right now in the world. But he makes these commitments. He makes these commitments to us. And I want to go then into another area. But he tells you and tells me, and I've got to keep this uppermost in my mind, is you need to also, in Romans 8:28, scripture verse, we know that all things work together for good. One, to those who love God. Two, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Can you say amen? I want to take you in now to a little bit something different here. And I'm going to tell my wife to give me the time sign, because I start going, and I'm telling you, I lose track of time. She has to, James, you're laughing. James knows. He was like, you got to do this. And she doesn't only have to do it once. She does it over and over. Amen. Get this thing stopped. You know, pulling her ear doesn't work. Amen. She got to give him the time aside. So I guess from this, God's commitment to us as his people and what he's able to do, the next thing I want to touch on is lies. Lies, 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 lies. Everywhere we go, it's lies. How many of you agree? Let me see. I'm going to ask you to show your hand. Lies. Just lies. People stand up, look you right in the eye, and tell you a bold-faced lie. Amen? So I said, well, Lord, what is going on here? I'm going to take you back into 2 Chronicles 18:20. Listen closely now, because I'm leading into this message as to what in the world is happening. What's happening? In 2 Chronicles 18:20, here's what the word of God says to us. It said, a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail, go out and do it. Lying spirit. So when you look at this word prophet, you think it's just a prophet. No, no, no. This is one who speaks for another. One who speaks for another, not only a prophet, but advisors, counselors. I say, yeah, Lord, that's exactly what makes sense, because this lying spirit come out and it came before the Lord. The Lord is one that did it. Read it. You probably know the scripture verse. I don't know, but it's there. He tells us exactly what it is. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him. Lying spirit, you go. You go into the world and you do this. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. You'll prevail at it. You won't only go out there, you will prevail at what you're going to do. He said, go out and do it. I said, Lord, that makes a lot of sense to me. Isaiah 44:20. He said, he feeds on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside. A deceived heart has turned him aside. And one, he cannot deliver his soul. And number two, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? So deceived by the lying spirit that's flourishing in our world right now, through the counselors and through the advisors, and you and I are out here in the midst of this thing. So I say, well, Lord, and the person that believes the lying spirit cannot even say, is there not a lie in my right hand? They believe the truth is in their hand. Not a lie, but the truth is in their hand when it isn't in their own. There's no truth in it. There's no truth. There isn't a truth. Isaiah 55, and I thought of this because it amazes me. And I told my wife many times, I don't mind telling you. I said, you know, if I were God, and it's a good thing I'm not, I'd zap some people out. Wouldn't you? I think you'd agree with me. I mean, I'm telling you, they wouldn't be alive. That's right, Greg. Greg looks at me and says, are you kidding me, Pastor? No, I'd zap them out, Paul. I'm telling you, I would. They would do, I'm telling you, this ISIS group that comes out and chop that guy's head off, I'm telling you one thing, the truth of it is, the guy that chopped it off would have his cut off. Thus saith Gary. not thus saith God. My wife laughed at me. She knows it's true. But you would do the same thing. I would not tolerate this. How many of you is with me? Now you're going where I'm taking you. This is what the Lord is cautioning us about and telling us about the future. And here's what he says. It's a scripture verse you and I know well, but boy, my wife will tell you, if I quote this one time, I quote it probably every day, all the time. Because God has convinced me of this. And he said in Isaiah 55:8, he said, my thoughts, son, are not your thoughts. Nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. And he said, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And I look up to him and say, got it. Lord, I got it. And that's the honest to God truth. I think I got it. I think I got it. He's so high. What I see as a human being and what I would naturally do as a son of his and you as a daughter of his, he said, but your ways are not like my ways. And I could say to him, and I do say, thank you, Father, because I'd zap those people out. They'd be done. We'd have a funeral. How many of you agree with me? Let me see your hand. Now, don't be so pious and say, oh, Pastor Gary. Yes, you would. Because it's things. So we try to make sense of the chaos that's running rampant in our world right now. Now, there's some things the Lord has taught me over the years, and I'll share a couple of them. One thing is this, when you as a child of God see something moving, yes, we're not stupid. God, I've told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm not stupid. I can see something moving. But he said, it isn't that. The question is, who's moving it? Who's moving it? What spirit is behind it? What spirit is moving it? From now on till Jesus comes, that's a very good thing to check out. Yeah, you can see things are moving. But the prayer is, God, show me who's moving it. Is your spirit moving that? Or is the lying spirit of Satan moving that? Who in the world is moving it? Can you say amen? Who's moving it? Just because it moves and we can see it doesn't mean we know who's moving it. We have to have the discernment of the Holy Spirit to be able to share with us and tell us who in the world is moving that thing. Yes, people can say anything, but you're speaking lies. Because when you start documenting what they're saying, you won't find truth in it. Can you say amen? But we know people are believing lies right now. God's people are believing lies. And that's what the passion that the Lord put into me. I was just reading within the last couple of weeks about now this isn't Billy Graham in America, but this is the Billy Graham of the UK. How many have been reading about the Billy Graham, the evangelist that's like the Billy Graham in the United Kingdom? He should have asked that question. Because now he is endorsing the gay marriage. And the second thing that he just came out with within the last week, this man of God come out, and he no longer believes that the blood of Jesus is necessary. Come on, church. That's where we're living. We're living in the end of the age. We're living with a lying spirit all over the world. Read about it. Get on the internet this afternoon and look up. Look up the Billy Graham of the United Kingdom. Not here now. Don't go out and say, I'm talking about Billy Graham here. I'm not saying that. He is referred to with the high esteem that he has in that place. Lies. Lies. God's people are believing lies. Because we have to go. We cannot rely upon ourselves. If you're relying upon yourself to know who's moving it, you'll be deceived. And so will I. Can you say amen? It takes the Lord to be able to share with us exactly what it is. So, what do we do, Pastor? I can share this with you. A friend of mine does it all the time. We've talked many times on it. You listen, but verify. Amen? You listen. Oh, yeah, you listen. But verify. Verify. Make sure what you're hearing, who's moving, whatever's moving, whatever thoughts that come to you. Spiritual warfare is raging. Lying spirit, I just read it to you, is in the world. Convincing, moving. And God said, he will prevail. In other words, convincing people that lies are truth because of what we're looking at here. In 1 John 5:19, in the last year, the Lord has brought this verse of scripture to me to help me understand, because you've got to understand that's where I'm at. I've never been a person that gets into, I walk the narrow way with the Lord, but my life is that I'm not the type of person that walks in a real narrow way. I look at the big picture, not because of me, but God has me looking at the big picture. Just not Bedford County or Pennsylvania, but looking at the world. And he'll show us things if we're looking at that. And the Lord said in his 1 John 5:19, he said, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway, control, or power of the evil, wicked one. You get that? We know what's happening. That's what's happening. God said, that's what's happening. So he said, yes, we are of God. Well, we know that, brothers and sisters. But he's saying, do you understand? No, I don't think I did. I've preached for 30-some years, and I don't think I really got that until recently. He said, don't you understand? The world is under the sway of the evil one. We're beginning to see it now, aren't we? You see it now? We get what he's saying, but you and I, as the people of God, have got to go into the world realizing the people in the world are under the sway of the evil one. That's what he's saying, not me, to try to get us to understand where we are. Can you say amen? So what he's doing, we've got a mobilization here that's happening in the world of nations, a mobilization of nations, which you see. God is preparing these evil nations and the evil in the world to demonstrate his power to overrule evil. That's going to be the ultimate end. But there's a lot of other stuff that's taking place. Can you say amen? That you and I, this is a safe house. It's a safe place. But God is saying, yes, you're of God. But when you go into the world, don't treat the world like you do as brothers and sisters. We're to go out there to win them to Christ and to love them and to do for them. Yes, we're supposed to do that, and we will do that. Can you say amen? I believe that completely, 100%. But you've got to keep uppermost in your mind to me what he is saying here. He is mobilizing the nations of the world for war. Now, we Americans, we want peace. How many of you agree with me? You want peace. I want peace. We talk about peace. I've talked about peace. I want peace. God said, yeah, that's what you want. But he said the world is organizing for war. All over around the world. So we say, what in the world is happening? Amen? What in the world is happening? Here's what he has to say in the book of Joel. Joel 3 and 1. And here's what he says to us. He said, behold, in those days, and at that time, when, Lord? When I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem. When's that, church? Is it now? Is that now? Is he bringing people back? Is he bringing the Jews back home right now? Yes? I just see a few heads going like this. Yes, yes, it's now. He's bringing them home. They're coming back by the plane load. I was talking to one pastor, and they had paid for, I think, 20-some flights, or 20-some people, I'm sorry, to fly them back, 20-some families, back into Israel. It's today. Check it out on the internet this afternoon, and you'll find out. That's exactly what he's doing. For behold, in those days, at that time when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, verse 2, he said, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, which is the place of final judgments, what that is. And he said, and I will enter into judgment with them on account. Listen carefully what he's saying, why he's doing what he's doing. He said, I'll enter in judgment with them on account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom, number one, they have scattered among the nations. God said, you think I've forgotten about it? No, I'm going to deal with this. Number two, they have also divided up my land. Wow. That's what you're seeing on the news. Go home and turn it on. Tap into a Christian organization. You're going to hear it today. He says, in those days, at that time, he said, they've scattered my people all around the world for 2,000 years. But he said, I'm coming back. I'm going to deal with it. He said, they've also divided up my land. You know what scares me about that? United States of America. Amen? How many of you is with me? You with me? I know Paul and Francis back there say, oh yeah. Do you realize that the leadership in the United States of America is plucking around the pupil of God's eye by messing with Jerusalem? What would you do if somebody come up to you and started plucking around the pupil of your eye? Would you just stand there and let them do it? No, they'd fall and find themselves flat on the floor, correct? That's what America's doing right now. That's what the world's doing right now. But listen to what he's saying. This is what prophecy tells us. We know what's going to happen. We understand what's going to happen because he tells us what is going to take place. He said, they have divided up my land. Now they want to divide Jerusalem. I said, oh, man. I just start praying. I said, Jesus, have mercy on America and these other people. They're trying to do this. Joel 3:9. If you're looking in your Bible, Joel 3:9. Jump down there with it. He said, the Lord said, proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat their plowshares into swords and their pruning hook into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Verse 11 says, assemble and come. And I studied that. And it says, all you nations. Made me shudder. All you nations. All means, does that mean America too? Huh? It means America. Now you see why this passion is to help us and God to help us to have a moment by moment first love relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the truth. That's the truth of this whole thing to me. But he said, assemble, come down all you nations and gather together all around. And then he says something here that I want to go into this more because this could be a two-faced thing. And he said, cause your mighty ones, in verse 11, cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Whether he's talking about the mighty ones in the world to go down or the mighty angels, I could think he's talking about the mighty angels to go down. So we look today, and we look at the scripture, Israel and Jerusalem is at the center of the world's attention. Do you agree? You cannot turn the news on today and not see this. So we're talking about where we are. So we're talking about Israel and Hamas and Gaza and ISIS and all of these things, but really, church, you know what's really happening here? What's really honestly happening here is a twofold thing. But the God of Islam, Allah, who is Satan, is versing and fighting with the God of Israel, Jehovah, Yoshia, Jesus. Who's moving this thing? Who is moving this? It's like a Mount Carmel showdown between the gods. Satan is the god of those people fighting, warring, trying to destroy the Jews. Satan hates them. Yes. I understand Hamas has the rockets and Hamas is trying to kill the Jews. But who's moving Hamas? Who's moving them to do this? You know who it is. You know who it is. The Lord spoke to me some time ago and he said, did I not say to you, I would build my church? I said, yes, Jesus, you did say that. Then he said, who would destroy it? That's all. Who would destroy it? Who? Well, you and I know who. It's Satan. So we can get all kind of feelings and thoughts about all this. So we've got the true and the living God. I'm going to get back and take you into something. I'm probably going to have to close. I told you, I don't think I'd ever get done. In Genesis 16, listen closely to this now. Genesis 16, 11 and 12. And the angel of the Lord said to Hagar, behold, Hagar, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. Listen carefully to 12. The Lord said, he shall be as a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence, not the presence of God. Didn't say that. It said he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. If the spirit behind Ishmael's kids, we'll say it that way, if the spirit behind him, if they cannot try to kill the Jews and kill Americans, because that's their goal. That is the goal. You read it. It's in the Word. It's everywhere. They call that Israel, the little Satan, America, the big Satan. So why the lies in America? Why all this? Because it's the same one that's moving all of this. But he said, he shall be a wild man. Ishmael should be a wild man. His hand should be against every man and every man's hand against him. If they cannot kill the Jews or kill us, they're going to kill one another. True? Yes, they are. They'll blow up one another's mosque. Their hands, God said, is going to be against one another. It'll be man against man. Who's doing that? Is God moving that? No. No. God loves us. God loves them all, but there's such a spirit moving them. It's a spirit of death. That's what you're witnessing in the world. That's why God says in 1 John 5:19, you're of God, but the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. And when you look at that kind of stuff, you say, Jesus, it isn't the people. It's the spirit of hell that's moving them. How many of you are with me so far? Have I lost you, or are you with me? You with me? I'm trying to go slow. In Psalms 83, I want to take you there and read a few verses of Scripture. I told you I'm going to read a lot of verses. I want you to know where it's at. You can go back and reread it at home. And this is what you need to do. It's a prayer against those who oppress God and his church. Read with me carefully what I'm saying, what he's saying, that I'm repeating what he said. Psalms 83, 1 through 6. God said, do not keep silent. Oh, God. Well, that's what I was saying to the Lord about what I said. Because I think he's silent, I'm going to zap somebody out. Amen? So they were doing the same thing. I thought, well, I'm in good company then. So they were thinking God was keeping silent too. Do not keep silent, oh, God. Do not hold your peace. And do not be still, O God. That's the human in us. Amen? We get frustrated. How many of you get frustrated sometimes? I could tell Paul was a little bit when he had a daughter in serious condition up there saying, God, where are you at? What are you doing? Been there and done that. But he says in verse 2, he says, for behold, your enemies make a turmoil. That's a commotion. And those who hate you, notice it's a capital U, Y-O-U. And those who hate you have lifted up their head. They hate God and they try to kill the Jews. Watch what he's saying. He brings it out so crystal clear. In verse 3, he said they have taken crafty counsel. What I read to you a while ago. The counsel, lying spirits come. They counsel, they lie. And God said, go do it. So we see it in the world. He said they have taken crafty counsel against, what would he say? Your people. I don't want to go too fast. I want you to get it. Rather, you get it. And he said, against your people, against God's people. That's what he's saying. And consulted together against, capital Y, your sheltered ones. Where's the battle? It's a battle between God and Satan. That's who's moving it. He says it right here. You can read it. You got it up there. You can absolutely see on the board, Y, capital Y, your people, God. It's your people consulted together against your sheltered one. His. Not somebody else's. But this is the one that really got me. Verse 4. He said, they have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. Who's saying that today? Is it on the news? Iran. How many of you read that? Is Iran saying that, Paul? Paul shaking his head, yeah. Go home, turn on the news. They want to wipe Israel off of the face of the entire earth. It's today. That to me is what shakes me up. It's not church as normal. Can you say amen? It's not worship as normal. It's not serving God as normal. There's nothing normal in this whole world right now. But the church in America. The church in America is pretty normal, pretty comfortable. Can you say amen? No, you're not saying amen? I may not be talking about you, but I'm telling you, I get into a lot of churches, and a lot of churches are very comfortable. Too comfortable. There's no passion. Amen. I'm not saying that about you. I'm saying, if you can't go home today and find this on the news, you please call my number. I'll give you my phone number. You call me. Say, Pastor, I didn't see it in the news. It's there. Iran is trying to get a nuclear weapon to do. What are they? Why do they want a nuclear weapon? A bomb. Huh? Absolutely. And that's what God is telling us here. He said, this is what you need to look for and see who's moving it. Satan is moving this thing. Oh, you get on the news and they talk about having all these treaties and all these conferences with the hierarchy and Iran and all that stuff. They say, you guys, sometimes I think you guys are a bunch of jokes. Can you say amen? I have no reason to say that. I want to say that proud. I'm not saying it. Only because the Spirit of God reveals to you and to me what he's doing. Can you say amen? And that's exactly as his people, he wants us to know. Forewarned is forearmed. So we know exactly what he's saying. So he said, this crowd that is preparing the bomb and all these people, Hamas, that's putting the raw, they may be more missiles going today. I don't know. Satan will not stop until he's put in the abyss. Can you say amen? No, he won't. God is going to have to come in Jesus, and he's going to have to come and conquer this guy. Amen? And he will do that. In verse 5, he said, for they have consulted together. Watch this closely in your Bible. I'm taking you to where God takes us. In verse 5, he said, for these people, they have consulted together with one consent. They form a confederacy against who? God. God. It's a confederacy against him. It's like a Mount Carmel showdown between the Allah, the God of the devil in the world, and our God, the living and only true God. Can you say amen? Is that what it's saying? That's what it's saying. That's what it's saying. So who's moving this thing? God will show us this, church, so we can look at it and say, Lord, I see who's moving it. Whether you're moving it or Satan's moving it, but you got to find out, yes, I see it's moving, but who's moving it? Who's moving it? And then I read this. I thought, oh my goodness, Father. Here's what he said. They've consulted together with one consent to form a confederacy against God. Who is this? Verse 6. The tents of Edom, the Ishmaelites. Did I just read that to you? God said, Hagar, did he not? You're going to have a son, and his name is going to be Ishmael. Now, who's fighting against God? Ishmaelites. Are you with me, church? I want to go on. I will go on, and you can see where the Lord is revealing to his church. He wants us to understand, and I guess that's the reason I've always loved prophecy, because it shows us and tells us where we are, but what's coming tomorrow. And he tells us who's doing what. When we could look at the news media and listen to the news, and we think we could understand what's going on, and that isn't always true. You can hear it, but you always have to ask the question, I see it, God, but who's moving it? Are you moving this thing or are you not? So then what happened is the Lord said, he goes on here, and he said that Israel at that time is going to be a cup of trembling and a burdensome stone. Is this true today? Is Israel a cup of trembling? Yes. They're trying to do everything they can get to get peace. There will never be peace between God and Satan. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. It just ain't going to take place. There's a lot of compromises taking place today, but not there, never will. And we cannot compromise ourselves with the world and the God of this world. We cannot do that. Zechariah 12 and 2, here's what he says in the latter times. He said, in that day, in Zechariah 12, 2 and 3, he said, behold, God said, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about. He said, when they shall be in siege against Judah and against Jerusalem. Verse 3, notice, and he says, in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it, watch what God says, shall be cut in pieces. Though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. That makes me shudder in my soul. That we need to be right as a nation. Amen? That we would not be part of this. But God tells us here that all of the people of the earth is going to be gathered together against it. And then in Zechariah 12 and 8, the God of battle says this, in that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants. The Lord shall defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Who wants to mess with him? Satan is such a fool, isn't he? Foolish. Foolish what he's doing in the people that follow him. But read what he says. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble, listen closely to this, and he that is feeble among them in that day shall be as David. Wow. David and his stones and his sling and Goliath. Can you say amen? Read what he's saying. He said, shall be as David. And then what he goes on, he said, and the house of David shall be as God. Amen. They may not believe in him now, but I'm telling you, the scales are coming off. Can you say amen? The scales is coming off of those Jews, there's no doubt about it. And he said, is the angel of the Lord before them. Verse 9 says, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Now do you understand? You understand the grieving heart, the burden of my heart. What would America be to the hand of God that would come against us? Nothing. Where's nothing? Amen? We may brag and boast that we're the most powerful nation in the world. I'm telling you, God could rain down fire and brimstone on America from border to border, and we'd be gone that fast. How many of you with me? Understand who he is. Who he is. I've got a big God, and he's awesome. And he can do anything. Not what I would do. I shared that before. But then here's what the Lord says in verse, and I'll jump down to Joel 3:16, if you look at that. And it says there, and it really got my attention, because he said, the Lord will roar. And I thought, what in the world is that? And he said, the Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, because it's the apple of his eye. He said, the heavens and the earth will shake, but the Lord will be a shelter. Thank God. Can you say amen? But the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel. I went back and I said, Lord, what does that roar? Roar means the roar of a lion in the Word of God. Check it out. It means the roar of a lion. But the second meaning is the roar of God as he goes into battle. That's the meaning of it. Check it out. I'd rather hear the roar of a lion, amen, than I would the roar of God. I mean, when God starts roaring, I'm telling you one thing. Can you say amen? This is such a powerful truth. I hope you're getting it, and I hope you're absolutely not put down. This is one of the most powerful messages to me I think God's ever given me, because it tells us where he's at. And I'm gonna do these notes, and I'm gonna stop. Anti-Semitism is running rampant in the world. Anti-Semitism is hatred for the Jews. Why mainly? Is because Satan tells Hamas and says, shoot the rockets, grabs the women and children, and holds them out on the front line, knowing that Israel is going to come back again and destroy the place. And who's there? Women and children. Why is he doing? Satan's sagacious. He's full of wisdom. He knows to turn the world against Jerusalem, Israel, and America is to cause this kind of stuff to happen. Twisting it. So who is moving it? So the Middle East, I went back, I checked in the internet into the U.S. Department of State to find out what this government is even saying about it. Here's what they said about it. It said anti-Semitism is a global problem that requires a coordinated multinational approach. The world is under the sway of the evil one. We are of God, and we see what's happening. But this is what he's saying. It's a global problem. The world is turning to hatred towards the Jews. Does that tell you where you are in time? Does that tell us where we are? I'm not talking about just the coming. I'm talking about time. I'm talking about time. Where are we in time? Jesus may come anytime. We know that. I've heard that ever since I got saved. And I know that's true. But where are we in time? How much time do you have left? How much time do I don't know. I don't really know. I read recently, I have a copy of it here if you want to look at it. I brought it along, I just stuck it in here. Pope Francis shocked the entire world by saying that Satan exists. There's the whole article. Rocked his world. And I looked at that and I thought, whoa, what is this? The Pope said Satan is real. He's alive. Did you read what his counselors did? The Pope's counselors immediately went to him and said, don't say that, because you're going to raise a lot of people's superstition in the world. Oh, I've got, if you want a copy, I'll give it to you. It's there. Does that tell you where we are about truth? Where's truth? I started this out by saying lies, lies, lies. Deception. Deception. And I've got to close with this. But Putin is on the news this morning. He'll be on there tonight. And August the 9th of 2014, the United States warned Russia against intervening in Ukraine. August the 31st, Russia has troops in Ukraine. Who's moving that? You may know this, but when you research this, you'll find out Turkey, which is directly north of Israel, directly right above it. God refers constantly to those in the north. Well, above that is Russia, but directly above it. What you may not know, and I didn't know this, the facts that I found was they said Turkey has the second largest military operation in the world. Turkey, largest, only beneath America. Stanford, please. God wants his people to be aware of what he's doing. He doesn't want us to be asleep. He doesn't want us, as I said a while ago, to be comfortable, acting like everything is okay when there's nothing is okay. But I want to close with this and saying, do you personally have a first love relationship with Jesus Christ? That's priority one. Priority one. If you don't have, I'm going to ask you to come up. I'm going to share a few things. If you want to come up and you want to pray, we'll take time. I'm sure that they would say okay to do that. But if you do not have a first love relationship with Jesus Christ, I would ask you in Jesus' name to just come forward this morning. I don't care who's beside you. I don't care if it's your wife, your children. It doesn't matter to me. There's one thing I know. There's one thing you have to know. You come into this world alone, and you're going to go out alone unless some catastrophic thing happens. Can you say amen? So the question is, the Lord laid in my heart, is this. Do you have a first love relationship with Jesus Christ? Or has other things moved in and taken the priority that Jesus Christ one time had as the top-notch individual, the reason I live, the reason I breathe? He walks, we heard a while ago, he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I'm his own. When we have that with him, we are ready for whatever comes. But that we need, and we've got to be honest to God, honest. I'm going to pray. If anybody wants to come up, you are welcome to be able to come. The second thing is that the Lord said, occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. First love with Jesus and occupying. People have asked me over and over since I left Spring Meadow, which I don't even attend that church and not connected with it anymore at all. Was there for 15 years. And he said, I thought you retired. I said, I have no idea what you're even talking about. You cannot have Jesus Christ as the first love and retire. You can't do it. It's impossible. You can't do it. He just keeps speaking to you. He just keeps opening up things to you. Can you say amen? So as the worship team leads us, before I turn the service over, I'm going to ask you to bow your head, going to pray. And if you want to come, if you want, if you've lost that first love relationship with him along the way, and we can do it, I'm going to ask you to do it. If you want to occupy, maybe you're not occupying like he told you to do. If you're not occupying, I'm going to ask you to come. We'll pray with you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the hunger in this church. We thank you, Lord, for the pastor that they have that brings forth your word. And I can tell they're open to you and they're open to your word. They're open and want you to speak to them. Father, I have delivered to them what you've laid upon my heart, what you've revealed to me and have given to me. Jesus Christ, I have given to them your lambs and your sheep. Father, if there's someone here today that does not and cannot say in the heart of hearts, Jesus Christ, you are the first love of my life. If there's anyone here who cannot say that in truth, in an honesty and free conscience, Father, I pray you would speak to them today. They would say, Jesus, forgive me. I become cold. I become indifferent. I've got involved in life and the things of life, and the circumstances of life, Lord. I confess that, Jesus, to you. Ask you to forgive me. I repent, Jesus, of losing you as the first love of my life. And then, Lord, I think this morning, where, Jesus, do I as an individual fit into this equation of what we've heard from your word? We've read it. We've heard it today. Jesus Christ, where do I fit? What is your plan? What is your purpose for my life? What is your purpose for me? I love you. I praise you. I adore you. I worship you. But I want to know what your calling is on my life. What is your place for me that I can walk with you and I can join you and be on mission, Jesus Christ, with you. I want to be on mission with you. That's what I want. That's what I desire. And that's what I ask for. I ask for it in the lovely name of Jesus Christ, Father, that you may be praised and glorified. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Thank you, Lord.